ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये। नश्च प्रायेषु अवद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवते उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिके। मूकं कृति वाचालं विमुलङ्घयते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे श्रीगुरुं दीनतारणं श्रीपरमानन्दमाधवम्। So today we are reading from Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 5, text 29, Karma Yoga, Action in Krishna Consciousness. Bhaktaraṁ yajna tapasam sarvaloka maheswaram हृदं सर्वभूतानां ज्ञात्वा मां सन्ति मृच्छति। भोक्तारं यज्ञतपसं सर्वलोकमयेश्वरं हृदं सर्वभूतानां ज्ञात्वा मां सन्ति मृच्छति। भोक्तारं यज्ञतपसं सर्वलोकमयेश्वरं सुहृदं सर्वभूतानां ज्ञात्वा मां सन्ति मृच्छति। Bhaktaram, the beneficiary, yajna of sacrifices, tapasam and penances and austerities, sarvaloka of all planets and the demigods thereof, Mahaiswaram, the Supreme Lord, Sruhudam, the benefactor, Sarva, of all, Bhutanam, the living entities, Gyatva, thus knowing, Mam, me, Shantim, relief from material pangs, Richati, one achieves. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Translation. A person in full consciousness of me, knowing me to be the ultimate beneficiary of all sacrifices and austerities, the Supreme Lord of all planets and demigods, and the benefactor and well-wisher of all living entities, attains peace from the pangs of material miseries. Purport. The conditioned souls within the clutches of the illusory energy are all anxious to attain peace in this material world. But they do not know the formula for peace, which is explained in this part of the Bhagavad Gita. The greatest peace formula is simply this. Lord Krishna is the beneficiary in all human activities. Men should offer everything to the transcendental service of the Lord, because he is the proprietor of all planets and the demigods thereon. No one is greater than he. He is greater than the greatest of the demigods, Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma. In the Vedas, Shruti Sutra Upanishad 6-7, the Supreme Lord is described as Tang Ishwaranang Paramang Maheshwaram. Under the spell of illusion, living entities are trying to be lords of all they serve. But actually they are dominated by the material energy of the Lord. The Lord is the master of material nature, and the conditioned souls are under the stringent rules of material nature. Unless one understands these bare facts, it is not possible to achieve peace in the world, either individually or collectively. This is the sense of Krishna consciousness. Lord Krishna is the supreme predominator, and all living entities, including the great demigods, are his subordinates. One can attain perfect peace only in complete Krishna consciousness. This fifth chapter is a practical explanation of Krishna consciousness, generally known as Karma Yoga. The question of mental speculation as to how Karma Yoga can give liberation is answered herewith. To work in Krishna consciousness is to work with the complete knowledge of the Lord as the predominator. Such work is not different from transcendental knowledge. Direct Krishna consciousness is Bhakti Yoga, and Jnana Yoga is a path leading to Bhakti Yoga. Krishna consciousness means to work in full knowledge of one's relationship with the Supreme Absolute. And the perfection of this consciousness is full knowledge of Krishna, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead. A pure soul is the eternal servant of God as his fragmental part and parcel. He comes into contact with Maya due to the desire to lord it over Maya, and that is the cause of his many sufferings. As long as he is in contact with matter, he has to execute work in terms of material necessities. Krishna consciousness, however, brings one into spiritual life, even while one is within the jurisdiction of matter. For it is an arousing of spiritual existence by practice in the material world. The more one is advanced, the more he is freed from the clutches of matter. The Lord is not partial towards anyone. Everything depends on one's practical performance of duties in Krishna consciousness, which helps one control the senses in every respect and conquer the influence of desire and anger. And one who stands fast in Krishna consciousness, controlling the above-mentioned passions, remains factually in the transcendental stage or Brahma Nirvana. The eightfold yoga mysticism is automatically practiced in Krishna consciousness because the ultimate purpose is served. There is a gradual process of elevation in the practice of yama, niyama, asana, pranayama, pratyahara, dharana, dhyana and samadhi. But these only preface perfection by devotional service, which alone can award peace to the human being. It is the highest perfection of life. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports to the fifth chapter of the Srimad Bhagavad Gita in the matter of karma yoga or action in Krishna consciousness. Om Jnanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshurvan Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namah. Sri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakadamayam Dadati Sopadantikam. Bandeyam Sri Guru Sri Utapadakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamsa Sri Rupam Shagrajatam Sagana Raghunatha Nitantam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sapadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Saganalita Sri Visakha Nitansa. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhanasate Devi Pranamami Hari Priya Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo 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 Mahavadanaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gauratise Nama Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Bhaktaram Yajna Tapasam Sarvaloka Maheshwaram Shruhudam Sarvabhutanam Gyatamam Shanti Mitshati. So here in this verse of Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna gives the peace formula. Everyone wants happiness in this material world. The living entities, those who are conditioned in this material world, they all want happiness. But without peace, there cannot be any happiness. That's why it is natural that everyone is looking for peace. How to become peaceful? Then only one can become happy in this material world. But though we are all looking for a peaceful situation, still we don't know how to become peaceful. To become peaceful, we may make different arrangements in this material world. We think that if we get so much money, then my material necessities will be fulfilled, then I can be very peaceful. Or someone may think that if I'll have a nice family, then I can be very peaceful. I don't have to worry about any other thing. So we have so many conceptions to become peaceful in this material world. But as the days go by, we realize that even if we have so much money with us, even we have our family, friends, relatives, we have all facilities to enjoy material life, still we are not peaceful. So, here Lord Krishna says, actually, in this material world, the conditioned living entities, they are living and trying to become peaceful and happy with a material concept of life. Because they are thinking that they are the enjoyers. They can enjoy this material nature. They can lord over this material nature. This is the misconception. Because this material nature, it does not belong to the living entities. The material nature belongs to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That said, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, He is called Mayadhisa. Material nature is called Maya, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead is called Mayadhisa. Who is the Adhiswara? Who is the Supreme Controller of the material nature? That's why in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, Maya Dakshina Prakriti Suyate Sacharacharam Hetu Nanena Kanteya Jagadvi Parivartate. So this material nature is working under my supervision. So the Lord is Mayadhisa. So the material nature is under the control of the Supreme Lord. So when the tiny living entities, they want to lord it over the material nature, they are in great trouble. Because no one can lord it over the material nature. That's why no one can become happy or peaceful in this material world. Because all the living entities, conditioned souls, they are controlled by the material nature. They are controlled by the three modes of material nature. And according to the modes, they are forced to act in this material world. That's why they think that by acting in this material world, they can become happy and they can control the material nature, which is not possible. And here Lord Krishna says, that bhoktaram yajna tapasam sarvaloka maheshwara. Because the living entities, the conditioned souls, they are thinking they are the bhokta or the enjoyers. Enjoyer of this material world, enjoyer of this material nature. That is their problem. That's why they are not happy. And that is the main reason that the living entity is coming to this material world, because he does not want to serve Krishna. He wants himself to be served by others. He wants to enjoy without Krishna. Krishna bhuli jai jiva bhogo vancha kare nikatastha mayatare jhapati adhar. As soon as the living entity desires to enjoy without Krishna, then immediately the material nature is there to capture him. So the living entity is captured in this way by material nature, and he is forced to act according to the modes of material nature. But Krishna says that bhoktaram jagya tapasam sarvaloka maheshwara, that when the living entity will understand, because in conditioned state the living entity is thinking that he is the enjoyer of everything what he sees. But when he will think that he is not the enjoyer, from his practical experience at least one can know this thing, that even if the living entity is trying in so many ways to enjoy, but still he is suffering in this material world. So when the living entity will think that he is not the enjoyer, real enjoyer, because he is suffering in this material world, then who is the real enjoyer of this material world? Because the material nature, which is controlling this material world. So the Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is the controller of this material nature and the material world. And also all the living entities. He is controlling everyone. Aham sarvasya prabhava matta sarvam pravartate. He says, I am the source of everything, both material and spiritual. So he is controlling everything. He is the supreme controller. So the supreme controller can only become the supreme enjoyer. The living entity cannot be the supreme enjoyer. The living entity may enjoy a little bit here and there, but the living entity cannot be the supreme enjoyer. Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. But because of this misconception, the living entity is trying to enjoy in this material world, and that's why his endeavors are baffled again and again in this material world. So that's why Krishna says that when one will understand that I am Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the bhokta, the enjoyer or the beneficiary of all yajna and tapasya, yajna sacrifices and tapasya austerities. So here we see in the material world the karmis, those who at least follow the Vedic principles. Those who do not follow the Vedic principles, there is no question of performing yajna or sacrifices. They don't perform any yajna. But those who are at least trying to follow the Vedic principles, so when they want to perform some sacrifices with some material motive, yeah, generally the Vedas are under the three modes of material nature. And because the living entities are also in the three modes of material nature, to elevate the living entities, the Vedas have instructions to different kinds of people in different modes. So in Vedas it has been stated that if someone can perform a particular type of sacrifice, he can be elevated to the heavenly planet. Specifically, it is said that there is a sacrifice called Sautramani sacrifice. So by doing that, one can be elevated to the heavenly planet. And we have some conception that if we are elevated to the heavenly planet, then we can become more happy in the heavenly planet. That's why in material world there is a conception that if someone goes to the heavenly planet after death, then his life is perfect. He has achieved perfection. That's why when we see someone leaves his body, generally people say, oh, he went to the heaven, Sargavas. He went to the heaven, because they are expecting that when one goes to the heaven, he can get all facilities to enjoy. Though they have no idea actually what happens in heaven, what type of enjoyment is there and how long it lasts in heaven. People have no idea. That's why we see when Srila Vyasadeva wrote Mahabharata. Of course, there are two versions of Mahabharata. So the version which is presently available, so that version is a Vaishampayana version of Mahabharata. Vaishampayana was the one of the disciples of Vyasadeva. So in his version, it says that the Pandavas, after retirement, they went to heaven. So sometimes our devotees, they ask this question, that Pandavas were all pure devotees of Krishna, then how is it that at the end they are supposed to go back to Krishna Loka, but they went to heaven? It has been described in Mahabharata. But we have to understand that this Mahabharata is written for the people, those who are in three modes of material nature. Those who only understand that a heavenly kingdom is the goal of life. For them, this is written that, oh, they can understand that Pandavas went to heaven means they achieved the highest perfection. But actually, the Pandavas, they went back to Godhead. In Jaimini Mahabharata, we can get to know this thing. So, because they are devotees, they went back to Godhead. But people, they don't understand what is kingdom of God. If we say to people Goloka Vrindavan, they don't understand what is Goloka Vrindavan. But they can understand Swarga. So, there are different conceptions in life. So, here we see that Lord Krishna says that bhaktaram yajna tapasam. So, the karmis, they perform different kinds of pious activities. And the goal of those pious activities is to be elevated to the heavenly planet or get some material happiness. And by doing this, by doing some pious activities or performing some sacrifices, they want to enjoy the fruits of that activity. Because they themselves think that they are the enjoyers of the fruits of that sacrifice or fruits of that activity. But then what happens? Suppose someone went to heaven after practicing, performing fire sacrifice. Then in heavenly planet, one may think that there is eternal happiness, but there is no eternal happiness in heavenly planets. Even the demigods, they are in heavenly planet, they are in great anxiety. In material world, we are in great anxiety. In heavenly planet, the demigods are also in great anxiety. Why? Because they have always fear of the attack of the demons. So they are always fearful that the demons should attack them. They may lose their kingdom of heaven. Sometimes it happens that the king of heaven with all the demigods, they run away from heavenly planets because of the fear of the demons. So they are in constant anxiety in heavenly planets. And even if they enjoy some heavenly pleasures, but how long it lasts? Khine punne martalokam vishanta. So after their pious act, results are over, again they have to come down to this earthly planet, from the heavenly planet. So they cannot even stay there eternally. Then what kind of a pleasure is there when one is in constant anxiety and his pleasure is also again temporary? The same thing also we get in earthly planet. We get some pleasure, and but we are in constant anxiety. So heavenly kingdom is not actually a better place. So generally people think it is a better place. And sometimes the jnanis, those who are cultivating knowledge, they think they perform austerity by controlling their senses. Because unless one controls his senses, one cannot concentrate his mind on the Supreme. Because if senses are always running for enjoyment, for sense objects, then mind cannot be steady. And also in Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna said, Chanchalahi manah krishna pramathi balavadradam tasyaham nigraham manne bhairiva sadhiskar. So this mind is very difficult to control. If someone wants to control the wind, naturally it is very difficult to control the wind. So bhairiva sadhiskar. As it is very difficult to control the wind, the same way it is very difficult to control this mind. Because the mind is very chanchal. Mind is always moving here and there. It is not steady, unsteady. And very obstinate. So, it is very difficult to control the mind when one is engaged in sense gratification or trying to contemplate on sense gratification. If someone's senses are running after sense objects, then it is very difficult to control the mind. And unless the mind is controlled, then one cannot cultivate spiritual knowledge. One cannot concentrate on the Supreme. Then all his endeavors will be failed. So, the jnanis or the persons, those who are cultivating knowledge, they try to perform austerity by controlling their senses. And in that way they try to control their mind and then try to concentrate on the Supreme. So this is their practice. But even among the jnanis or those who are cultivating knowledge, they have so many different conceptions. The actual jnani or a person in real knowledge will perform bhakti yoga. Because Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, bahunam janmanam vante jnanavana mang prapadyate. After many births, many lifetimes, anyone who is in real knowledge will surrender unto me. He is actually the real jnani, a real person in knowledge when one surrenders to Krishna. But there are so many so-called jnanis or so-called people, those who are cultivating knowledge, they think the Supreme Person is impersonal. He has no form. That's why they want to merge with that impersonal feature of the Lord. So their jnana or knowledge is imperfect. Krishna says, avyaktam vyaktimaparnam manyate man abuddhe. Krishna says, these people are very foolish. Those who think that initially I was unmanifested, avyakta. They think I was impersonal, avyakta, unmanifested, and now I become manifested, become personal, attained personality. So they are abuddha. They are very less intelligent. So this type of jnanis, or the person in knowledge, though they perform different kinds of austerity to control their mind, but their endeavor attains failure at the end, unless they come to the platform of devotional service or surrendering to the lotus feet of Krishna. So generally it happens that the karmis, they perform sacrifices to attain a higher platform for material enjoyment. The jnanis, they perform, because the yajna sacrifices are done by the karmis, and tapasya is done by the jnanis, or those who are in knowledge or cultivating knowledge. So Krishna says that they will attain failure until they understand that I, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, is the enjoyer of all sacrifices and all austerities. If someone is performing sacrifices, Krishna is called yajna. He is yajna purusha. That means the aim of the sacrifice should be to satisfy Lord Krishna only. That is the perfection of sacrifice. The aim of performing austerity should be to think of Krishna, the personal feature of Krishna, to serve Krishna, to perform devotional service of Krishna. That is the perfection of austerity. That's why it has been stated that aradhito jadihari tapasa tatoke, naradhito jadihari tapasa tatoke. If someone is not worshipping Hari, then what is the use of his tapasya, austerity? It is all useless endeavor, wastage of time. And if aradhito jadihari tapasa tatoke, if someone is worshipping Lord Hari, then what is the use of performing austerity? So if someone has to perform austerity, let him perform austerity to serve Krishna, instead of mere austerities, controlling the nose, the life air, controlling eating habits, controlling the sitting posture. What is the use of all this unless one worships Krishna? And if someone is worshipping Krishna and serving Krishna, then what is the use of doing all these things? So if someone wants perfection in his life, then let him perform austerity to serve Krishna. Let him perform sacrifice to satisfy Lord Krishna. And what is the greatest sacrifice in this age of Kali? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jagyanam japa jagyosmi, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. That among all sacrifices, I am japa jagya, chanting the holy name of Hari. So Krishna says, I am that. This is japa jagya. So if someone is not chanting the Lord's holy name, What is the use of performing so many kinds of sacrifices? Because when one performs sacrifices, there must be some faults. That is natural. That's when Bali Maharaj was performing sacrifices and Lord Vamandev went there to break 3 steps of land. And we know what happened, how Bali Maharaj promised to give 3 steps of land, though his guru Shukracharya advised him not to do so. But anyway, Bali Maharaj was a devotee, so he, whatever he promised, he gave to Lord Vamandev. And even Lord Vamandev took away the entire planetary systems, lower and upper planetary systems. And he had to take another step, 3rd step, and Bali Maharaj had nothing to offer. So Lord Vamandev even arrested Bali Maharaj. And Bali Maharaj was standing, being arrested by Lord Vamandev, putting his head down because he could not fulfill his promise. And Lord Vamandev was asking again and again, Bali, tell me, where should I put my 3rd step? So Bali Maharaj at last told Lord Vamandev that, my dear Lord, you have taken away everything from me. Now I have nothing to offer, except I have this body. And in this body, my head is the best thing I can offer to you. So please put your 3rd step on my head. So anyway, Lord Vamandev was very much pleased with the surrender of Bali Maharaj. And he offered him a place in Sutal Loka, which had opulence greater than the opulence of Lord Indra in heavenly planets. And Lord Vamandev himself offered to be the doorkeeper of Bali Maharaj because of his surrender. Because he gave away everything to Lord Vamandev. So when all these things are happening, there was a disturbance in the sacrifices. The sacrifice which was performed by Bali Maharaj, it was interrupted because of Lord Vamandev. Lord Vamandev came and all these things happened in the middle. So at the end, Lord Vamandev asked Shukracharya that, dear Shukracharya, you are the priest of Bali Maharaj. So I came in the middle of the sacrifice. Your sacrifice was disturbed. So Bali Maharaj was performing the sacrifice and it was all disturbed in the middle. So now, how this sacrifice should be completed? Please tell me. Lord Vamandev asked Shukracharya that there was interruption in the sacrifice in the middle, so how the sacrifice will be completed? Because Bali Maharaj had started this sacrifice, it should be completed. So then Shukracharya admitted that, my dear Lord, while performing sacrifices, there can be many mistakes while chanting the mantras or while offering oblations. There can be so many mistakes. Even if the priests are very, very careful, still there would be many mistakes. So then how the sacrifice would attain perfection? Then Shukracharya himself admitted that, my dear Lord, your holy name alone, when chanted, can complete the deficiency which has occurred in this sacrifice. So the chanting of the holy name of the Lord can fulfill all the deficiency in the sacrifices or any ritual we perform. That's why when this Krishna Balaram temple was opened, that time Srila Prabhupada though invited the local priest to perform the rituals, but he ordered the devotees to continue chanting the holy name of the Lord. He said that will bring perfection, that will invite the Lord to come to this temple, the holy name of the Lord. So here that's why Krishna says that I am the enjoyer of all sacrifices and austerities. When one will understand this simple fact, because why I am the enjoyer of all sacrifices and austerities, Sarva Loka Maheswaram. I am the supreme controller of all the controllers of this material planetary system. So there are so many demigods, they are also called Ishwara. Ishwara means controller. And among the demigods, Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, they are the chief ones. But Krishna says, even I am the controller of Lord Brahma and Shiva, Maheswara, supreme controller, Sarva Loka Maheswara. So since Krishna is the supreme controller, then he is supposed to be the enjoyer of all sacrifices and austerities. We are not the enjoyer of all sacrifices and austerities. As we are part and parcel of Krishna, that's how we are servants of Krishna. We can only serve Krishna and please him through sacrifices and austerities, through devotional service. Then only we can become happy when we understand our real, eternal, constitutional position, Jivera Sarupahaya Krishna Nityadas. But when we don't understand this and try to become enjoyer, then naturally we will suffer in this material world. We can never become peaceful and we can never become happy. So Krishna says, Sarva Loka Maheswaram. So I am the supreme controller of all the planetary systems, of all the demigods, even the controller of Lord Brahma and Shiva. And at the same time, Krishna says, Sruhudang Sarva Bhutana. And because I am Sruhud Sarva Bhutana, I am the well-wishing friend of all living entities. So here we see in material world, we think, oh, I have my family, I have my family members, I have my friends, I have my relatives. So when I am in trouble, they all will help me. So we feel ourselves very peaceful that I have my family. So we get the solace. My relatives, friends, I have money. So I am in a well-situated position. But actually in this material world, what is our relationship? If we analyze our relationship of this material world, it is all based on self-interest. When the self-interest is no more there, then the friends become foes. Immediately. That's how we see. Today they are very intimate friends, tomorrow they will become enemies. It happens. Sometimes we see even in family, husband, wife, they are living nicely, then suddenly something happens, then there is divorce, there is quarrel among them. they become the greatest enemies. Same thing with the father and son. So, friends, relatives, all these things are happening in this material world. That's why Prabhupada, in one of his lectures, he says, there are three types of friends. One type of friend is called bandhu. This bandhu, this is the official position of a friend. So we say bandhu means friend, relative. So that position one attends because it is an official position means sometimes there is marriage in another family. So some relation is established. That is official relationship. So when we say, I have relatives, bandhu, they will help me. But this is official relationship. And the same people, if their self-interest is hurt, then instead of helping us, they will become our enemy. That is official position. Bandhu. And then another position of a friend is mitra. So when we establish some relationship with someone, or we say, oh, he is my mitra or friend. That is also a social position. So when, as long as our friend is getting some benefit from us, then he is our friend. As soon as his interest is, self-interest is no more there, it is hurt, then immediately he becomes enemy. It happens. We have so many friends in society. Today they are friends, tomorrow they become greatest enemy. Sometimes they kill each other. It happens. So they are actually not real well-wishing friend or relatives. They don't want our benefit, they want their benefit only. That's why Krishna here used the word Shrut. Shrut means well-wishing friend who wishes good or good fortune for his friend. Always thinking about the friend, how he can live happily, how everything will be auspicious for him. That is the real friend. That is called Shrut, well-wishing friend. Instead of thinking himself for his own interest, if that friend is thinking the interest of his friend, that how he can become happy, how everything will be auspicious for him, then he is real Shrut. And who can be Shrut in this material world, the real Shrut? Only Krishna. That's why Krishna says, Shrutam sarva bhutanam. I am the well-wishing friend of all living entities. Because I am always desiring the good fortune of all living entities. How is it that the Lord is desiring good fortune for all living entities? How can we know? So the Lord Himself, He is coming down to this material world from His eternal abode. Leaving His eternal abode, the Lord is coming to this material world, appearing within the living entities. and giving a chance, opportunity for other living entities to serve him and be attracted towards him, by which they can get rid of these pangs of material miseries and go back to Krishna. And not only that, the Lord himself comes here to give an opportunity to the living entity to serve him and be attracted towards him. At the same time, the Lord also gives instruction to the living entities how they can attain him, how they can be free from these material miseries, how they can attain his eternal kingdom. That's why the Lord is giving instruction, like Bhagavad Gita. Krishna spoke to Arjuna. Through Arjuna, he actually taught the whole mankind. Arjuna was just a means. Through Arjuna, he taught whole mankind how they can be attracted to Krishna and how they can attain Krishna's eternal kingdom, being free from the material miseries. So that means Krishna is making this arrangement how to free the conditioned living entities from their suffering condition. Like a father. The father always wants his son or children to be happy. Though children, many times, most of the time, they don't listen to the father's instructions. They want to become of their own. But the father's desire is to see their happiness. So sometimes the father may see the children, they are suffering because they are not following his instructions. The father may say that, "My dear child, why are you suffering? Please listen to me. Do what I say and you will become happy. Come to me." The same thing the Lord is also doing for his children in this material world. And when the Lord does not come here, or his instructions are lost, the Lord sends his dear devotees to this material world. So the dear devotees of the Lord, they come from the spiritual world to propagate Lord's teachings and attract the conditioned souls to the lotus feet of the Lord. They give the knowledge, they show them the way how they can become free from the material sufferings. So these are the arrangements of the Lord for the conditioned souls of this material world. That's why Krishna says, "Shrudam sarabhuta." I am the well-wishing friend of all living entities. And anyone who will know this, jnatva, mang shanti vrucchati. If one will know this thing, that I am the well-wishing friend of all living entities, I am the enjoyer of all sacrifices and austerities, I am also the supreme controller of all planetary systems and all the demigods, including Lord Brahma and Shiva, he can attain real peace in his life. Because that person will be well situated in his position as my servant, and he would be engaged in my devotional service, by which he can become free from the pangs of material miseries and attain my eternal nature, the kingdom of God. So this is the instruction of Lord Krishna, by which one can attain peace or happiness in this material world. And this is a clear-cut instruction to the conditioned souls that how they can really attain peace in this material world while living in this material world and after death, they can go back to Krishna and enjoy eternal happiness. Hare Krishna.